Hi, I'm Christine, and welcome to the 5'5 and Growing podcast, a podcast where I dig deep, do some difficult self-reflection, try to learn from my past, all the while trying to become the woman I want to be, whoever she is. I haven't figured that out yet, hence the podcast. So please join me on this new journey of discovery and hopefully growth, figuratively, of course. I'm 5'5" tall. That doesn't mean I still can't grow. Welcome back to the latest episode of the 5'5 and Growing podcast. This is Christine. How you doing? How's everybody doing today? It is technically Saturday / Sunday, August 6th, 7th, 2022. I am stone cold sober this week, so no random ambient thoughts. I know how much you guys like that, but we are sober. No drugs, no sleeping pills, no CBD gummies, nothing. It's just me and a microphone and some fans because it's hot as balls in my room. Oh, so let's talk about some things. Most of the time, this show is me reflecting, talking about current events, past events, usually things not good or not positive, happy. This ain't that this week. So, your girl has been on one. Finally, I can have a podcast of positivity. Here we go. So, July 22nd, I saw the doctor, follow-up from my mental breakdown back in June. It was a one-month follow-up, and I went into the appointment with the expressed determination and desire to ask my doctor for phentermine. So, a few years ago, just before COVID started, just before March of 2020, because technically COVID was before that, I had asked my doctor about phentermine as a weight loss drug to take. And my man was like, it works. It'll probably work for you. But with your blood pressure, it would be like taking cocaine. And I was like, so I need to take cocaine. And he laughed and he was like, get your blood pressure down to like a normal range and we could do this. Great. Awesome. That was February 2020. My doctor is an immigrant on a work visa. So he had to leave. Damn it. He had to leave the practice and do some stuff for his visa. I can't remember where he's from. Malta, Morocco. I don't know. Very nice guy, cute too. I miss him. Anywho, so he had to leave to do some stuff for his work visa, and his quote unquote replacement. She's been awesome. She's been absolutely awesome. I was worried in the beginning, but she's been great. Fast forward 2 years, and my blood pressure is under control. I figured I'm gonna take a chance. I want to lose weight. It's been difficult, to say the least. And someone had recommended phentermine to me years ago, but I never thought it would be something I could take. But because I'm trying to use this weight loss as a way of channeling my grief about my friend's suicide, I figured, why not just go all in? So I sat in the doctor's office and she wanted to follow up about the mental health stuff. And I told her I was in a better place. Some days are harder than others, obviously. But I was like, but I really want to talk to you about the phentermine. And she was like, well, you know, the diabetes medication you take should help with weight loss. And I was like, yeah, girl, you know what? I'm gonna be straight up with you, homie. I don't always remember to take it. And she kind of gave me the, you know, disapproved doctor look. And I'm like, because you gotta take it 30 minutes, or you have to take it and then you have to wait 30 minutes to eat. However, when you wake up with very little time to truly get ready in the morning, I'd have to take it immediately as I got out of bed, get ready for work, and then, you know, it doesn't always work out that way before. And I would forget, and so I told her straight up, like, I don't always remember to take it. I haven't been really consistent, so on and so forth. So she was like, well, you know what? You're down 10 pounds since I last saw you in June. And I'm like, hey, girl, I'm trying. And she said, okay, this is what we'll do. Your blood pressure is normal today. It was normal last time you came. It was normal the last time you came before that. You're on the right path. I'm gonna do this for you. But don't take the whole pill. And I was like, say what? She was like, take a half pill for the first couple of weeks. See how you feel. Get adjusted to it. And then we'll move up to the full pill. I said, all right. I was a little disappointed, but I went with it. And it's raining. Oh, snap. Oh, it's raining hard. Ooh, okay. We're gonna pause for just one moment. Sorry about that. Some technical difficulties. It's a little lightning, a little thunder. Just had to pause for a moment so we don't get electrocuted. So where was I? So, asked the doctor for phentermine. She told me to take half in the beginning because she didn't want me to have my blood pressure spike, and apparently that's one of the effects of it. So, phentermine works by decreasing your appetite and increasing your heart rate and your blood pressure in order for your metabolism to increase. Fantastic. Side effects. Whew. Drowsiness, fatigue, constipation. Those were a little daunting that first week. So the first week I took it, I saw on the 22nd. She didn't actually call in a prescription until Saturday, but Walgreens is closed on the weekends now, so I had to wait till Monday after work to pick it up, which means I didn't start the medication until Tuesday morning, the 26th. So, full transparency, because this is my show and I get to talk about me. So, on Tuesday, the 26th of July, I weighed in at 290. Not proud, but whatevs. I started taking it that morning. I took all my meds, my crazy pills, actually my two crazy pills, and my diabetes medication, the one blood pressure medication I take, and I took the phentermine, and I took them properly. I was prepared. I meal prepped. So I made my tuna salad, which is mostly just tuna, a little bit of pasta, some celery, hard-boiled eggs, mayo, relish, various seasonings. But I get it for the tuna because tuna's protein. The pasta just kind of oomphs it along. I have my smoothies, I have my snacks, I have grapes is my mid-afternoon snack. And then I have some stuff at work. Raisins, salt-free saltine crackers, so on and so forth. So I was prepared. Like I said, Tuesday the 26th, weighed in, 290. Okay. So I told myself I was going to start walking on my lunch break. My lunch break's 45 minutes. If I could walk for 20 to 30 minutes and then still have a few minutes to kind of eat my lunch at my desk and cool down, that'll work. I walked every day. Round about 20 minutes or so, give or take. Some days a little bit longer, some days right around 24 minutes. It's toasty, let me tell you. Plus, you're walking around in your work clothes. But luckily, the nondescript office park that I work in has a nice little street that if you walk the whole thing and back and then back to the office, it's around about a little over a mile, depending on, you know, if I circle through the parking lots. So I did it the whole week, the whole last week of July. Every day, I had my smoothie, I had my snack, I had my lunch. I did not deviate. I didn't stop for food. I didn't have donuts. I brought in bagels on the 27th because that was the anniversary of my brother's death. So I thought I would be nice and bring in bagels. I didn't partake, which was awesome. I did really well that first week. The phentermine, on the other hand, really kicked my tush by Friday. The fatigue set in late Friday night, Saturday. And holy crap. Holy crap. I thought, it felt like someone had drugged me. Last Saturday and Sunday were rough. Like, I just felt so tired. Like, just weak. And the sad thing was, it took me until Sunday evening to realize that it was the phentermine. Because I'm like, did I not eat enough? What did I do? And then it actually dawned on me that, so I took my diabetes medication. Then I took my phentermine and all my other medications. And I didn't eat anything. That was a mistake. Because I thought I was going to help it along. And apparently I took a wrong turn in Albuquerque. And the next thing I know, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was completely fatigued. Whoops. So note to self, don't take medications on a completely empty stomach. Despite what it tells you, like the diabetes one I have to take on empty stomach, but the phentermine, yeah, you definitely got to eat something not too long after or an hour before. Oh, and now the thunderstorms are back. Damn it. You know what? We're going to ride through. So, first week down, the weekend was rough, had no energy to do anything. But I did do my meal prep. I did manage to muster up enough energy to go to the store and get my fruit from my smoothies and my snacks and my apples. So last week, week two of phentermine, I got better. So my alarm goes off at 6:15. As soon as I get up and turn Beyonce off. Side note, Beyonce is my alarm. She didn't used to be. It used to be, Dear Silas, I ain't stressing today. If you've never heard it, Google it. Go to Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, whatever you use. It's a wonderful song. Especially something to wake up to. But since Beyonce came out last week, holy crap. But I changed my alarm to one of her songs. Fantastic move. Anywho, so my alarm goes off at 6:15. I pop up, turn it off. I'm up. There's no more snoozing. I'm not snoozing anymore. I am up. Mostly because I have to get up to turn the alarm off. So it's kind of hard to go back to sleep when you have to physically get out of bed. Life hack. So, as soon as I turn the alarm off, I have my water and my pills. I take them and then I start my morning. That way, by the time I'm out of the shower and getting dressed or so, 30 minutes has gone by, and then I could take the rest of my pills, including the phentermine. And then that gives me another 40 minutes or so before I get to work or start work. And then that's when I start drinking my smoothies when I get to work. So it works out nicely where the medications have a chance to get into my system and I don't have to worry about any negative reactions. So, started this past week, same way. Smoothies, snacks. I switched from grapes to apples this week. Granny Smith apples, little trick. So, I cut up my Granny Smiths. I like other apples, but I really like Granny Smith apples. They're tart, but I don't know, it's just something about them. They're crisp, like they got a little oomph to them. I don't like soft apples. So you cut them up, you pour a little lemon or lime juice, either or, with a little bit of cinnamon. Perfect snack. Perfect. It's healthy. Cinnamon helps your metabolism. And it's an apple. Like, that's fiber, fills you up. And one apple is a lovely portion, right? Especially when you cut it up and eat it over, a period of time and you're not just biting into an apple, you're just eating slices as you work. It's perfect. And I had my tuna set up for lunch. So this week's been hot as balls. But I stuck to my guns. I walked every day. Back to Beyonce. Beyonce's album, Renaissance, Act One. Questlove, the drummer for The Roots, he said he had to give it a listen a couple times, but he was like, this is Beyonce's Off the Wall. And I was like, that is the perfect comparison. Renaissance is Beyonce's Off the Wall. Off the Wall is Michael Jackson's best album. It's better than Thriller. It's better than Bad. It's better than Dangerous. Trust me. It's not because I'm old. Off the Wall is a perfect album from top to bottom. Name a bad song. Show me a song you skip on Off the Wall. Like, not just because one other song is your favorite. Show me a song on Off the Wall that you would willingly skip because it is not good. Thank you. That's what Renaissance is. Renaissance is phenomenal. I've listened to nothing else with a small exception of a few other songs just to mix it up. But that album is gonna be my weight loss soundtrack. Put it on. Track one. It just makes you wanna move. And when I'm walking on my lunch break, I walk faster, I walk a little more upbeat, like it is perfect. Thank you, Beyonce. Oof. I've walked every day in 85, 90 degree heat. And it's been good. I've been really sweaty. I need to figure out I have to bring a change of shirt. I learned the hard way that I sweat a lot. And when you come back in the office and your half your top is soaking wet from sweat, it's not a good look. It's not a good look. So I need to change into another shirt before I go work out. So I learned that lesson last week. But I'm doing really good, guys. I've been taking my meds. I've been drinking only water. I've had only water 3 weeks now, give or take. I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but it is. It really is. The only time I've had something that's not water is when I've gone to the movies. And that's once a week, and that's not even like a full soda or icy. I take a couple of swigs, and then honestly, I'm kind of turned off by it. Nothing but water. I haven't had any fried foods. I haven't had any chicken wings. No pizza. I think I made a steak. Yeah, I had steak for dinner a couple weeks ago. I'm really trying, y'all. Like, for real. This is. Yeah, you know what I'm gonna say it. This is the best streak I've had in a long time. Like, 4 or 5 years, maybe? What year was that? Was it 2016 when my friend B got married? Yes. Nope. No, it was 20. No, she got married in 2016, but 2017, I went vegan for the month of August because I was going down to Georgia at the beginning of September and I wanted to see if I can get down to under 300 pounds. I think it was like 310 or 312 or something when I started. But yeah, I went vegan. I still drank soda. I think I went to Popeyes a couple times and got some biscuits. But I did okay. And I for my birthday that year, I went to Texas Roadhouse, but I got the grilled shrimp. I thought that was the safest possible choice that wasn't a salad. This go around these past couple weeks, I'm really proud of myself. Like, really proud. Just sticking to my guns, you know? Just, I'm not wavering. I'm not craving any foods. I'm not trying to cheat or I'm not thinking of cheating. Like, I'm doing really well. I feel like I need to exercise more to try to knock the body fat down, but because it's so hot, I just walking the 30 minutes or whatever on my lunch break, that's enough for me because it's hot and I don't have air conditioning at home, hence the fans that you hear in the background. So, as soon as I get home, I just park it in front of a fan and call it a day. Once the temperature gets below 80, I'll be back on it, but these 85, 90 plus days are brutal. And tomorrow, Sunday, is supposed to be like 95. Jesus be at air conditioning. I just, whew. But I'm really proud of myself. I don't say that enough. I don't give myself enough credit. But I'm doing really well, considering. Like, I'm not going balls to the wall with the exercise. I'm just walking and eating, you know, the same stuff every day. And I haven't gotten tired of it. The tuna was a little, it got me towards the end of the week, but I think I need to mix something up in there, add something to it. I don't know. I gotta maybe add some onions or something. Maybe a little bit more hard-boiled egg. That actually might work. So, Tuesday, the 26th of July, I was 290. Today, September, or whew, Today, August 6th, 2022, I weighed in at 277.2 pounds. Yeah, I lost 12 and some change pounds since last Tuesday. Let me just one more time. Tuesday, July 26th, 290. Saturday, August 6th. A mere what, 11 days later, give or take? 277. I didn't believe it. I stood off the scale. I got back on the scale. I let it reset and then recorded it again just to make sure that I was not going crazy. Like, did I move it? Was it stuck on something? Like, I just wanted to make sure. And here's the best part. I didn't get too geeked. Like, I didn't want to believe it. Like, I looked at the scale, I looked at the app on my phone, I looked at the numbers, and I just paused. And I'm like, did I really just lose like almost 13 pounds in 11 days? Word? And I came upstairs and I did the math and I wrote it all out and I saw the change in the body fat percentages and my BMI, and I'm just, like, so here's the numbers. So September or July 26th, 290.2 pounds. My BMI was 48.9. My body fat percentage, according to my scale, was 42.4. Today, August 6th, 277 pounds, 277.6 pounds. Sorry. BMI is 46.8. Body fat is 46.6. So I knocked 2 points off my BMI and I knocked 2 points off my body fat percentage in 11 days. Y'all, my body fat percentage could be under 40% by next week. My body fat percentage hasn't been under 40% in God knows how long. And that's, assuming my scale is correct. There's a lot of muscle under this fat, so that helps. I had to write it down on a sticky note. It didn't, I won't say it didn't register, but I was so stunned, pleasantly stunned. I just, like, I'm so proud of me. When I had it in my head a few weeks ago, and I'm like, can I get to 275 by my birthday? And I posted it on Twitter. Can I lose? I think it was, what was that? I can't remember the day. I'd have to find the tweet. But I was like, can I, 25, 20, 25 pounds in a month. Is that doable? And somebody responding was just like, it's doable, but it ain't healthy. And I let the comment rock, but in my head I was like, girl, I'm not healthy. What? Let me have this. Don't kill my dreams. But I knew it was gonna be difficult. Even with the fentermint, like, I didn't have a clue how the fentermine would affect me. Would it wreck my blood pressure? Would it give me the shakes? Like, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure how well it worked. I Googled fentermine at least a dozen times and read as many articles about the effects, and I watched a couple YouTube videos. I just wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if it was going to work for me. I wasn't sure how I was going to react to it. I wasn't sure how quickly it worked as far as weight loss was concerned. Most of the studies are over a period of 3 months, so they don't really give you, a breakdown week to week. One of the articles I read said, most people lose 3 to 5 pounds in the first week or two because you're losing water weight. And I was like, all right, I'll take that. Okay. But 12.7 pounds, my dude? I'm so proud of myself. And I can hit my goal of 275 by my birthday in 9 days. If I keep doing what I'm doing, and this keeps working, and I keep working, the sky's the limit, baby. Like, I needed this in the worst way. I don't think, and I think I mentioned it last week. I don't. It's frustrating when you're putting in so much work and people don't notice. And I know you're not doing it for people to notice, but you would just like someone to recognize the effort that you're putting in. Like, I'm kicking tush. I'm caught up on my work at work. I was gone, for surgery and then the concussion and COVID, and then my friend died, and then I had a nervous breakdown, and like, it's been a rough 4 months plus. And to try to deal with all of this responsibly is not easy by any stretch of the imagination. It's so, they call it the comfort zone for a reason. It's so easy to resort back to all the coping mechanisms I've developed over the years, which mostly are food. When I was in high school, I played video games. That was much easier. I should do that more often now, because I got a Switch and I got my friend's Nintendo and Super Nintendo, but I'm afraid to hook it up. I don't know why, but I just am. That's a story for another day. But when you put in effort, you kind of want it recognized. Like, I don't want a cookie. Like, I don't want an applause, but just someone saying, I see you. Like, I see you. I see you, dog. That would go 1,000 miles for me. Unfortunately, I don't have that, so I have to do it for myself. Seeing that scale today, say 270, it could have said 279, I don't care. The fact that it said 270 is astounding. I didn't think I would see 270 this soon. I haven't, like I said, I haven't seen 270 in years. Years. And I didn't have the immediate want to screw it up. Like, self-sabotage is well, was horrible for me. I would lose a few pounds and I would reward myself with food. Stupid, but that's, when food is your comfort, your coping mechanism, your reward, your treat, your punishment, it's hard to separate because you've made it so many different things. Not relying on food, it helps. It helps. And having this focus, I talked about this a while ago, 2014 was one of the worst years of my life. I got fired for the first time, unfairly and unjustly. I was unemployed for months. I finally found another job, and then my friend ghosted me for the entire summer. my new job, my boss on paper wanted to hire me in theory, but in actuality she didn't because she thought I was gonna come for her job, which she didn't know. I was like crushed emotionally. All I wanted to do was just have a job so I could eat and live in my apartment and didn't have to move back to New York. So that was miserable. And then my brother died in July. And you would think that that was the lowest point. You would be sadly mistaken. Because it just got worse from there. There was like a pocket of good for like a millisecond, and then it just went to poo. And I was depressed and suicidal, and I didn't want to live, and I never thought. It was just bad. It was a very bad time. 2022 is creeping up there for tying 2014. Just having a hysterectomy and a concussion shortly thereafter, and then getting COVID and being sick with that, and then finally recovering from that, and then my friend killing himself. That just, like, my heart is broken. Absolutely broken. But instead of drowning my sorrows in barbecue sauce and French fries, I'm trying to learn from 2014. I don't want to go down that road. It was so dark, y'all. It was so dark. I mean, just pitch black. I never want to feel like that ever again. Ever again. I cried myself to sleep every night. I cried in the car. I cried on walks. It was rough. I cried at the movies. Guardian of the Galaxy 2, I wept the entire movie. Not because it was good, not because it touched some emotional point. My brother would have absolutely loved Guardian of the Galaxy 2. And that's all I could think about. And the movie came out shortly after he died. Heartbroken. That was my big bro. Greg was like a big little brother. He's a year younger than me, so technically he would be a little brother, but he was just, I don't want to repeat the same things. I won't even call them mistakes. I just don't want to repeat the same things. The same negative things. I don't ever want to revisit that year. Except, to tell stories from it. I don't want to ever feel that alone, that desperate, that afraid, that depressed, that hurt, that heartbroken, that defeated, that unloved, that unliked. It was just brutal. And the sad thing is, it didn't end in 2014. It continued on for a while. And I had pockets of goodness and then pockets of poo. My life has not been a crystal stair. I'm trying to turn this ridiculous negative into some semblance of positive. Because, like I said last episode, I refuse. I absolutely refuse to live my life the same way I did before my friend died. I refuse. He can't have died in vain. I can't. I just can't. when my dad died and when my brother died, a part of me died too. And when Greg died, a part of me died too. And I can't get that back. I'll always have the memories, and you know, unless I lose my memory, but I won't have any new memories to create. They won't be a part of my future. They'll always be a part of my past life. And that hurts. And that's depressing. And that's heartbreaking. What I'm learning, from looking back and trying to process all of this, I'm learning that the seeds that they planted in me, the things, the love, the hobbies, the jokes, the fun, the memories, those things that they planted in me, if I give up, if I stop trying, if I keep living the way I have, those seeds they planted in me, they cease. They don't grow. And I'll never know what they'll grow into if I keep doing the same crap. My mom and I are vastly different. I'm just like my dad in a lot of ways. I'm 75% him and 25% her. And it's been obvious since day one. I look just like the man and his sisters. When you are the opposite, those opposites are truly glaring. And for most of my life, it's been an hindrance because the connection wasn't there. It wasn't the same, you know. When my pops died, I was lost. Like, I still felt like a kid or a teenager. I was 24, but I didn't feel 24. I felt 16. I mean, I had an apartment with my friends. I was living alone, or I was living away from home. I finished school. I didn't feel like an adult, a true, true grown adult. So, you know, I didn't have the mental makeup to deal with my pops the right way. I was lost. When my brother died, I was already in such a rough place mentally because of the job I just started that April. I was broke. Broker than broke. My friend had ghosted me. I was just not in a good place before he died. And then him dying just, you know, just put me right over Niagara Falls. Now at 42, having lived through that, having survived all that, having endured all that, and actually learned from all that, I want to do this differently. There's times I still feel like I'm 16. Like, I live with my mom. So there's only so much grown you can really feel living in your childhood bedroom. But have you seen these rental and these home prices? Like, I might be here for a while. But, anywho, mentally, I'm in a better place as far as the wisdom I've gained. I've learned from my mistakes. I've learned some life lessons the hard way for most of them. I can't tell you when, but somewhere in the midst of all of this, I want it to be better. And maybe that's been the point of all of this year. The surgery, well, not the concussion, but it was supposed to be addition by subtraction. I didn't think losing my friend was a part of that subtraction, but here we are. When you lose someone, when you lose a parent, you lose a sibling, you lose a close friend, and you've grown and aged over that period of time, the platitudes, the cliche answers, they annoy you because you know they don't actually help. It's like, if you ever need anything, just let me know. I'm always here for you. You know they don't really mean it. It's a stock answer. I didn't want. How can I put this? None of those stock answers ever made me feel better. There was never any comfort. It just showed me that you truly didn't care because it was a stock answer. It wasn't specific to me. It could be applied to anyone. Sorry for your loss. I'm so sorry. You and your family are in my prayers. If you need anything, don't hesitate to ask. Sure, they sound nice, but they don't make you feel better. And the cliche of cliches is the one that annoys me the most, besides everything happens for a reason. This person would want you to do X truly grinds my gears. One, that's usually not true. Two, they haven't lived in my shoes. So, I don't know if that's true. Three, in the case of my friend Greg, he tapped out for his own reasons, but he tapped out. So, saying that he would want you to do X doesn't apply to him because he tapped out. Or at least in my opinion, it doesn't apply. Like, I want to honor him. I don't want to live for him, per se. And I don't want to follow in his footsteps, life-wise, not death-wise. At least not anymore. You know what? I know I said this was going to be all positive, but let me just digress for a second. And hopefully she never hears this, but I have to get this off my chest publicly, I guess. So, well, I guess it's sort of a positive. Like I've been saying for the past whatever minutes, I'm really trying to do this all responsibly. I miss my friend. I cry all the time. I miss my dude. And you know, it's not funny, but I miss him the most at night. It's the weirdest thing in the world. Maybe it's because I'm alone at night and it's dark and I'm alone with my thoughts, even though I'm alone with my thoughts every day. But something about just before I go to bed, that's when I think of him the most. And it sucks because that's not what you want to try to glide yourself into at night to go to sleep. I'd rather fantasize about something good or have a good dream about anything other than my friend's brutal and tragic death. But I'm trying to do this responsibly. I'm trying. I cannot emphasize that enough. In trying to do this responsibly, I feel my feelings when I feel them. But I don't want to constantly be reminded of his death, if that makes sense. I know he's gone. It's not a surprise. It's not a shock. I know he's gone. I literally carry his ashes with me everywhere I go. I don't need a reminder that he's gone. However, I'm really fighting with myself to tell this truth. She'll never hear this. Please don't mistake me as being some cold-hearted person when I say what I'm about to say. You know what? No. I'm trying really hard not to say what I'm thinking, but I want to get it off my chest in this forum, but I don't know who or, you know what? Okay. Homegirl keeps no one checks on me. I talked about this a couple episodes ago. Like, there's no, how you holding up? There's no, it's been a few months since his death. How you doing? There's none of that. If I don't post anything on Facebook, I don't get anything, right? About this. I check in with his mom every week, give or take. It's usually just by text message. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be overly familiar and just call the house every week or every day or whatever. But, you know, just send a little, hey, thinking of you. You all right? You need anything? I'm here. I genuinely mean that. That's not the platitude I was just talking about. I literally will do anything for her. As long as it doesn't cost a ton of money, I am there. Certain people have taken it upon themselves to what's the Reddit, Twitter for trauma dump? The trauma dump. And I don't like it. And I'm trying to be really respectful of their grief. Their grief is different than mine. I lost a friend that I've known for 20 some odd years. They lost their romantic partner that they thought they were going to spend their lives with. Different. That person has never checked on me. Now, I know what you're thinking. Have you checked on her? No, I haven't. You know why? Because I'm angry. And that's my emotions to deal with. So, instead of inflicting pain, I removed myself because I can't be trusted as to what I will say because I'm angry. For a myriad of reasons that I will not get into on this show, the point of this is, with all the positivity I've had in the last few weeks, as well as I am doing with working out and eating well and sticking to my schedule and my meal prep and the things I talked about in the first 40 minutes of the show, that one person keeps I want her to stop because it's not you. Can you tell I'm struggling here? Because it's not one of those things where you talk about the person, where you talk about your favorite memories, or you talk about some funny moment that you guys all shared, or remember that time when we went to XYZ and you laugh and you have a moment and you remember that person, right? It's not that. It's never been that. It is apologetic. It is trauma dumping. It is gruesome details that I should never be privy to. And it's never about me. And I know that sounds really selfish, but it's never like, hey, how you doing? It's never an introduction to a conversation. How you doing today? How you holding up? I'm not okay. How are you? Give me something. It's never that. It is just them searching for, I don't know. And if I get into it, I don't want to get into it because that's not what today is about. I say all of that to say that is really bugging me. And that person and their actions are not helping. And I told my therapist this the other day, and she was like, you handled it well. And I'm like, but I can't keep handling it well. And she was like, what do you mean? I'm like, because I won't say snap, but I'm choosing my words carefully because, like I said earlier, I've gained the knowledge and wisdom of grief and how this all works. And I get some things that this person hasn't gotten yet. And that's not their fault. This is new to them. So I'm trying to be respectful of that. However, I'm doing a detriment to myself by swallowing my feelings and putting their feelings ahead of my own. My own progress, my own grief, my own everything. And if we're going to bring it back to the platitudes about this person will want you to do X, Y, and Z, I think in my heart of hearts, knowing my friend as well as I do/did, I think they would be okay with me taking the stance that I'm taking. Now, the person doesn't know what I know. And that's part of the issue. Because if I tell them what I know, they're going to be even that much more devastated. So, I've had the luxury, privilege, insert whatever word. I've come to terms much quicker than this person because of what I know. If I tell them what I know, it will not have the same effect. And I'm aware of that. And I'm conscious of that. And I'm not that cold-blooded. However, if they keep doing what they're doing, Like, that's the one in the chamber, not, excuse the pun, but that, like, that's in my back pocket. That's my ace. That's my joker. That's my big joker. And I'm trying not to go to it to get them off of me. But they keep trying to poke the bear. And you know what? They don't even try to keep poking the bear. They don't even care about the bear. That's the problem. They're so wrapped up in their own whatever that I don't even think they're considering me. And that is the problem. Or that is a problem. That is top problem. Let's circle it back because I'm running out of time and I promised myself I would not be up till 2 o'clock in the morning again, like I was last week. I'm doing well. And when you've been through so much that I've been through, you get scared of saying that out loud. You get scared of admitting it to yourself. Because what goes up must come down. And when you've had so many down moments, going up is terrifying. I don't want to come down. I want to keep going up. I haven't reached cruising altitude. I'm still in that, when you take off in a plane and you go from, taxiing on the tarmac and then you just go take off. I'm still in that rough, bumpy, accelerated part of the takeoff where you still have to wear your seatbelt and the flight attendants are still sitting in their seats. And your tray tables are still up, and you're not allowed to have your electronic devices turned on. Like, I'm in that range where you're not out of the woods completely, or you haven't hit the point where you're just, I'm trying to get to that. But I'm on my way. And like I said earlier, I needed this. In the worst way. Because I needed to be able to prove to myself and to show myself that I can do this. And not feel slighted and not feel deprived and not feel. I don't feel the need to self-sabotage, And that's major. Like, y'all just don't know to drive past all these restaurants and not have just, I'm gonna just go get Five Guys today. You know what? I don't feel like eating tuna. I'm gonna just ride down the street to McDonald's, just get a quick little number one, no cheese, keep it pushing. I haven't had that at all. And to have myself stick to this mentally with no regrets, with like, I'm not negotiating with myself, like, if I just eat good for a couple of days and I could just do, I have a cheat day on the weekends. I haven't had a cheat day. Like, no, I haven't had a cheat day. No even willingness for a cheat day. Y'all don't know how major this, like, this is 2 weeks, but this is two just astounding weeks, and no one will notice it but me. And what I'm gonna leave you with today. So my birthday's in 9 days, and I have a little under 2 minutes to get this off. So my birthday's in 9 days. I would still like to continue to lose weight. I want to start lifting weights. I haven't done that practically all year because of surgery and everything. So walking, I've been really trying to just stick to walking just to get my body back into doing physical exercise. Like I said, it's been a rough 4 months. I'm going to just speak it into existence. If I'm at 277 today, August 6th, when I get to the 260s, whoo, my goal is to get to the 260s by my birthday. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I want you guys to join me on my journey, man. Cheer me on. Because this is, if I can keep this up and keep feeling this way, feeling good and trying to stay on the right path and not feeling neglected or repressed or anything like that, this turning grief into a positive, the sky's the limit. It truly is. I can see how my life can be infinitely better if I can do this.